Something I was thinking about down here, you know, I was on the basketball team back in the day, and I didn't play that much. Rode the bench. It was beautiful. But, man, I cheered on my team. I'm telling you, I was loud, and I was into it. And I just love that we're coming off of this time of prayer and fasting, and that worship series last weekend was just so powerful. And so I just want to encourage you, when you're in here and you're worshiping God, you're doing a huge part. You're a part of this team. You're a part of this family. When we collectively raise our voices and lift our hands and sing to God, it's powerful, and you can sense it and feel it. And so I just thank you guys for being a church that's willing to come in here and give honor and credit to the Lord. And this is a good home to be a part of. And I'm honored to be up here today because I get to talk to you about one of the most critical and important topics of our church. It's actually one of the things our church was founded on, and that's relationships. And I love Pastor Rick, his heart for this area, the need for authentic and real community, real relationships. It's something he talks about all the time. In fact, he says, we're not just a church that does small groups, right? We are a small group church. That's what we are, in a life group church. And so we're going to be talking a lot about that this morning. But Pastor Rick, he's passionate about this. He loves this topic. I've got a special message from him to you. Check this out.
Hey, New Life Church. What a great weekend we have in store talking about relationships. And how do we do that? You know, New Life Church keeps growing larger and larger, but how do we keep relationships around the vision with the values of NLC? Well, we do it in life groups. Life groups, it's the most important thing that we talk about after you give your heart to the Lord. It's right there. You get baptism and then relationships. How do we do it at New Life Church? Through our groups, through small groups. And in fact, when we pick a campus pastor, clearly we are looking for people who are called, who have integrity. The Bible says it's harder to get behind a pulpit than it is to get to heaven. You have to be ready. But what else do we look for? We look for pastors who love people, who love relationships. And at NLC, it's very frustrating when you're a pastor who loves people and you look around and you see some of the people who are not involved in relationships. So it's a goal of ours. Why? Because we know we can't pastor the whole group unless they have friends, friends that will pray with them, friends that really care. When I first got saved, I started going to a church that had it together. Great preaching, great worship. I loved going there. But when I tried to get involved relationally, there was no one there. I couldn't find a friend. I couldn't find anyone to pray with me. I couldn't find a small group to learn the word. I would put down my phone number on a piece of paper and no one would call me back. And they weren't even trying. I was trying, but they weren't trying. Here at New Life Church, we want to try. Now, the fact is, I'm sure some of you have tried to get involved relationally, and maybe we didn't do so well. But we're still trying. Would you please keep trying to? That's the reason why we started life groups. In the early church, you can tell it was important to God. If you want to know what the Lord really cares about, go to the early church and see the original design. Yes, they were growing larger, sometimes 3,000 people in a day, but they were growing smaller too. They did it in homes. They did it in life groups. They did it in small groups. The Bible says they were sharing everything they had with glad and sincere hearts. This is how you grow in Christ. So I'm asking all of you, please give life groups a chance. We have a plethora of different type of life groups. But please get connected. You'll never be pastored properly until you're connected into the church. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20, that there is just one body of Christ, but many parts. Well, if the many parts are not connected, then we're never going to be the church that God wants it to be. This reminds me of when I was a kid, I was playing football outside and I was running with the ball and someone tackled me, cheap shot, but I started sliding on the ground. But what I didn't know is that I broke my arm. It was a severe break, and immediately I was in a lot of pain. But since I was connected, I started trying to help that pain. My arm, my hand, my right hand reached over and grabbed my left arm. My shoulder was holding up my body, and the blood was pumping to it, and my mouth was trying to get in on it, yelling, "Help, help, help." Even my eyes, as a little kid, there was tears. It was like rain falling. The reason why everything was doing its part is because I was connected. And I just want to let you know, that's the only way we can pastor well. Please, the days that we live in, we have to have relationships. So at New Life Church, we have men's groups. We have women's groups. We have marriage and family. We have college. We have YA, young adults. We have recreational groups. We have Bible studies where they open up the Word and they teach the Word. We have connect groups for the new people. We have serve groups that are serving right now at different departments in our church. And throughout the week, we have outreach and missions groups done a lot through the Dream Center. We have student groups for Real Life and 412. We have other groups as well. Please, if you're going to be a part of New Life Church, would you help us connect one another? If we do it that way, we can be just like the church was intended to be, relationally with Him and with one another.
Man, I love the heart of Pastor Rick. He wants us to be connected. He wants us to be healthy. And he's been my pastor for a long time. And today I get the opportunity to pass on the heart and the vision of this church. But I want to encourage you with something right up front. This isn't just going to be us running through a bunch of different groups. We're going to dig in the Word of God and learn about why it's important for us to be connected relationally. What are the things that we need to build foundationally into our life to live the life that God intended us to live as believers together? So I'm going to pray. We're going to get God in on this. We're going to dive in. God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to hear from you this morning. God, I pray that everybody in here, my wife and I included, we'd be ready and willing, God, to be challenged, to be coached by your Word, by your truth, and God, that we would be willing to make the adjustments necessary to live a life that you want us to lead. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So, like I said, my biggest prayer is that we could pastor you today in this topic because it's such an important area. In fact, we pray at this campus specifically that we could be a church that could take care of people better than anywhere else in the United States of America. This is something that we pray for. Trust me, we're not there yet. And you know what? We'll probably never just get up here and say, hey, we made it. We're the best. You know what I mean? That's probably not going to happen. But we are going to strive for that. But I want to promise you something. It'll never happen without our small groups, our life groups, our serve groups being strong and having you involved in them. That's the only way to get there. In fact, when I think about friendships, I want you to write this down if you could. Friendships without foundations will fail. Friendships without foundation will fail. Today, I want to teach you how to not have failing friendships, but have founded friendships that thrive and last and bring hope to you and hope to others around you. And that statement, you know, friendships without foundation will fail, reminds me of high school. Let's just go back there together, shall we? You know, just take a journey back, okay? So back to high school, and you're there now. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Okay, anyway. And so I remember when I was in high school, you know, I was on the basketball team, like I was telling you, and it was like me and my friends were, I got your back for life, Holmes. You know what I mean? I don't know what that wasn't how he talked, but we had each other's back, something like that. You know what I mean? We had each other's back. So we were like, I'm never going to leave your side, bro. And then high school ended, and, you know, 10 years later, whatever, I'm like in the grocery store. I'm like, is that Jimmy? That's too far. You know what I mean? Just like, you know what I mean? You go from like, I'm going to die for you to where who's Jimmy? He's over there. He'll be fine. You know? And then you girls, don't get me started on you girls. Oh my. You just love each other in high school. Oh, it's ending. It's ending. Sign my yearbook. You know, best friends forever. Jeremiah 29:11. He knows the plans. He knows them, and it's for us. 10 years later, checking Facebook, Jenny's fat. Wow. Get ready. Okay, so, all right. So, oh, boy, I'm in trouble. Okay. So here's the thing, guys, in all seriousness, I promise you, that it's, I believe that those friendships are real. People ask, well, are those friendships fake? Were those friendships not founded? What's the deal? And here's the bottom line. I believe those friendships were real. I believe those friendships could have lasted, but they lost their common foundation. It's high school was the bond. High school is what kept people together. And then when that ended, slowly but surely, lives went different ways. And what I'm telling y'all is many of you are walking around in life without friendships that are founded. You're going, man, I don't have any relationships that are deep. And that's not how you were meant to live. You've got to change it. But here's some challenging news. Good foundations take time and effort to build. Okay? And that's part of the problem. Because we live in a society that's kind of like, well, we want it, get what we want, and get it now, right? Come on, man. You want some caffeine? There's a Starbucks at every corner. Need a snack? The golden arches of doom await. With their fake cheeseburgers. Okay, I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? You bored? Not a chance. You have an iPhone, right? Everything at your fingertips, entertainment everywhere. Well, that might be what the world is pushing, that you can get what you want and get it now. But there are many kingdom principles that take time and energy and effort and patience. And this is one of those areas. I remember when my wife and I were building our house, and you know, I didn't know this at the time, but apparently building a house is one of the top four or five most stressful things on a relationship. I know now. Anyway, you know, so we're building this house, and I remember you show up because you're excited. It's your house, so you show up and you want to see things happening, and it felt like forever we would show up, and they were just moving dirt around. You know what I mean? I'm just like, what am I paying these guys for? I mean, I can kick dirt around on a lot, you know, but they were moving dirt. Then they were like slowly laying this foundation. It was taking all this time. And I'm like, what is going on? And our builder met with me and said, the most important part of a house is its foundation. You don't want to rush that. I believe your builder is here today to talk to you and say the most important part of your life is your foundation. The most important part of your friendships is your foundation. Where are you at with this? Are you connected? Are you getting connected to friendships that can help you? And I'm going to tell you right now, my wife and I have some areas where we're strong in this and some areas where we're weak. But I'm asking you guys to think like Luke 14, verse 28. Is there anyone here who, planning to build a new house, doesn't first sit down and figure out the cost so you'll know if you can complete it? Whether this is your first time here or you've been here for 17 years, I'm asking every single one of you, as an individual, as a family, to sit down and check, how is your friendship foundation? Are you strong? Do you have relationships that are real and authentic? And if not, I want you to do something about it, and I'm going to help you figure that out. And so the question might be then, okay, well, Chris, great. You've talked me into it. I need to invest in friendships. I need to build a foundation. Well, what needs to be built into the friendship foundation? Number one, friendships founded in Christ. Doesn't it feel right to start here, right? We've got to have friendships that are founded in Christ. Matthew 7, 24 through 25. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. Homeowner improvements to your standard of living. No, they are foundational words. Words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. Rain poured down, rivers flooded in, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. Come on, man, we know some about all of that in Arkansas. But nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. Here's Jesus reminding us that our life should be centered on him, centered on the word. If our life should be that, shouldn't our friendships be like that too? And it reminds me of a pair of friends, Paul and Timothy, in the Word of God. These dudes loved each other. But it's funny how they became friends, because they became friends on a mission trip. And mission trips look a lot of different ways. But the mission trips back then, they looked tough. That's what they were, tough, because they're getting persecuted. Their lives are in trouble the entire time. It's a difficult journey they were on. They were thrown in prison together. All these things were happening, but their relationship was founded with the bond of loving Christ deeply. Check this out. 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 6. Every time I say your name in prayer, which is practically all the time, could you look up here? This is Paul, right? He's writing to Timothy. He says, every time I say your name in prayer, which is practically all the time, some of us need some friends that are praying for us. some friends that are constantly thinking of you and praying for you and believing good in you. Come on, that's what a friend founded in Christ can be. I thank God for you, the God I worship with my whole life and the tradition of my ancestors, man. I miss you a lot. See, this is a relationship, especially when I remember that last tearful goodbye and I look forward to a joy-packed reunion. That precious memory triggers another, your honest faith and what a rich faith it is handed down from your grandmother and your mother and now to you. See, this is showing the depth of a relationship. They know about each other's families. They look forward to seeing one another. Some of your relationships seem shallow. Some of your friendships aren't that I'm going to go to war for you type battle that's going on. And people around here want to help you with that. We want to help you find that at this church. I remember when I first started coming around, I met a guy named Bill Beck. And if you know Bill Beck, you know this man loves the Lord a lot. There's not a ton that me and him had in common besides the fact that we went to New Life Church and we both love Jesus. But now, fast forward 10, 12 years after I've been meeting with him, and he's one of my dearest friends. And I tell him all the time, I'm like, Bill, I learned so much from you. But it's all because we get together. He loves God a lot. I love God a lot. Now we pray over each other. We believe for each other. Like I said, he teaches me a lot. And sometimes I, you know, take a swing in the dark. I teach him a little bit of something every now and then. But we're sharpening one another because we both love the Lord. How is your foundation in this area? Do you have friends around you that love Christ? If you don't, listen, I'm telling you right now, we've got groups around here. The life groups that we were talking about, Pastor Rick's talking about. One of them is our Life University. We teach the Word. We open the Bible and we get in the Word. They meet on Thursday nights. You could come in here and be a part of that with friends next to you going, I don't know you much, but we both love the Word. Let's get into this. That can begin something in your life, just like it began something for me and Bill. We've got other groups like Mark Davis and I. He's in here somewhere. One of our pastors, we're leading a group called Fresh Start. Or we're just taking people, maybe you're new at this whole Christian thing, you go, I don't know what to do. Maybe you've been away for a while and you're coming back, you want to get reacquainted with who God is and who you are. We got a group of people, we're going to be going through the Word and learning. Man, we just love God. We want to hang out together. That is something that can be foundational to your life. Maybe like Paul and Timothy, you've gone through some storms recently. Come on, a family member hurting, running from the Lord, a spouse broken, addiction, whatever. And you're going, I just need somebody that understands what I'm going through. We've got restoration groups that you can sit next to people that are going, man, we're going through the storm, but we love Jesus, and we want to trust him through it. We need friendships like that to be founded. Amen? Okay, number two, we need friendships founded on common interests. Don't worry, it's not all deep. You know what I mean? I went from epic to pretty low, shallow here, but sometimes you just want to go hunting with somebody, right? You know, pull a Ron Swanson. It's like, if you say one more thing, I'm going to hit you in the face because all I want to do is kill a deer. You know, don't talk. It's okay. Some of that can be on the field. But it reminds me of the early church. Check this out. In Acts 2, verse 46 and 47, day after day they met in the temple area, continuing with one mind and breaking bread in various private homes. They were eating their meals together with joy and generous hearts, praising God continually, having favor with all people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, I don't know if it's the fast we just got off of, but I read this, and I don't over-spiritualize it. I just see that they're talking about food. More than anything else, they mention food, okay? And so I just want to eat with them. But here's the thing, guys, all joking aside, food is something that was in common, but they did it in an uncommon way. This common thing, get together and eat, they did it in an uncommon way, praising God with generosity and kindness, and the whole world stopped and took notice. What common thing do you enjoy that if you just put a little bit of a spin on it, if you just brought it into the church and focused it in here, could the rest of the world stop and look and go, wow, that's different the way you do that. Why do you do it that way? That looks like fun. I want to do that. We need more people. There are people in here, you have interests that I don't have. You have things you're good at that I'm not good at. If you would ask God to let you be a part of this church, we could take care of people better like we talked about earlier. Or, hey, you may be saying, I'm not ready to leave, but I got some interests. We've got some groups for you, special interest groups, recreation groups, things that are just fun, people that love the same thing, doing that thing together. It's awesome. I've got a group, my longest life group that I've ever been in my life is a basketball group text that I'm in. Tommy, you know what I'm talking about. Because he's in it, okay? And so what it is, it's this group text, and it's amazing. It's really deep. We just talk about the NBA. Wow, you know, so Christian. Anyway, but the group, we have six basketballs. That's the name of our text group because there's six of us, so there's six basketballs. Anyway, and every once in a while, I'm just trying to show you how fun this stuff can be. It's ridiculous. Anyway, but every once in a while, like when the Thunder are playing and I'm like wanting to check the score, Kat and I will be on a date. Hey, boo, you know what I mean? And so we're out on a date. But I have to check, you know what I mean? So I get my little group text out, check with my boys. What's up, man? How's it going? How's Russell Westbrook playing? And Kat always looks at me, Chris, I am seeing the six basketballs here. On the... Why are you using your phone to text the boys now on our date? I'm like, well, babe, I wanted to check the score. She's like, I know who won't be scoring later. yeah, that was good. Okay. I swear that she never said that, and that's not in the notes. That just happened right here. Okay. But it was true. Stop texting me, guys. Okay, anyway. Man, we need friends we can just laugh with and have fun with, and it's hard to recover from that story I just told. But I'm telling you right now, how many times have those guys then texted, hey, man, I need some prayer about something? It happens. The other day, one of my friends, one of the basketballs, was at another guy's house helping him move. I was like, I'm glad I didn't get that text. Hallelujah, you know? But we want to help each other out because we have common interests. We're around each other, and we do it in an uncommon way. Bring Christ in the middle of it. It changes lives. Do you have friends around you like that? Number three, we need friendships founded in true community. What is true community? What do I mean by this? Guys, I simply mean, do you have friends around you that are like family? It's almost like you're in a similar season of life that they're in. You're going through things together the same way, so you can look over your shoulder and be like, I'm not alone. You're in this with me. We need some community around us like that. In fact, it reminds me of when Kat and I, when we waited a while to have kids. We were 33, you know, so we waited. And I remember our friends, they just started having kids earlier than that, you know, like 26, 27, they started having kids, and things happened. They started to change, you know. It was weird. It's like we'd be hanging out and be like, oh, boy, it's 7 p.m., need to head home. We were like, losers. Wow, these guys over here with the old, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden they're like, we'd call them, oh, hey, you up watching this show? This is amazing. Like, oh, boy, it's 9:30. We're already in bed. We're like, these guys need to get a life, you know? And all of a sudden they're buying minivans and weird stuff. And I remember looking at Kat and I was like, baby, that won't be us. Kids won't change us, sweetie. Reminds me of this. Check it out.
More to your father than meets the eye.
Like what?
Well, when I first met him, he was a very different man.
No way, baby!
But becoming a father does strange things to a man.
Could you be careful? There's a baby here. Could you step back? There's a baby coming through. Could you keep those flowers away, please? She's too young for pollen.
Where's the bike, darling?
This is our new car.
What?
That is exactly what happened to me. I mean, it was like, we're going to the hospital. I'm like, we're not going to let this change us, baby. You know, we get in there and then we leave. I'm like, this is my princess. If you come near my daughter, I will smite you. You know, back off. You sneezed, move, you know, or whatever. And you people, you single people, young people in here, young married couples in here, you don't understand. You don't know what I'm talking about right here. You're like, this. Let me just show you something. This is an example. This is you leaving the house, right? Here, you're sitting there and you're just chilling and you're going, I want to leave the house. Yeah, that sounds like a good thing to do. And you stand up just like this, and then there's a door, and you open it. I left the house. Let me walk through what that looks like when you've got kids, okay? Just come on with me on this little moment here. This is what it looks like. I think we need to leave the house. Time to gear up, baby. it's go time. It's battle time. You know, it's like, hey, Maya. Hey, sweetie. We got to go. We got to leave the house. But, Daddy, I want to dress like a princess. Well, that's fine. You can dress like a princess. Well, go on in there and dress like a princess. And she comes back with 14 princess dresses on. I mean, they're just all over her. Okay, sweetie. Well, that's great. Well, hey, you know you have to wear shoes. I'm an elven princess. I don't have to wear shoes. Well, baby, you need to wear shoes, honey. You got to wear shoes. Stop licking your brother. I'm a baby lion princess. What is that? Be a baby lion that doesn't lick your... Where'd your brother go? I mean, it's pandemonium. And then you get in the car and you're just like, we're going to go to church and learn about Jesus. So everybody shut up and be in a good mood, you know? And that was this morning, literally on my way here. And so what I want to do real quick is all the parents in the room that got your kids ready and you came to church, you are heroes. Give it up for them. You did it. You did it. Oh, boy. But we didn't understand, when we didn't have kids, we didn't understand, why are you going to bed at 7? Because the kids get up at 4. That's why. You know? Why you got to leave early? Because my kid will turn into Satan. That's why. You want me to stay around for 15 more minutes so you can meet the devil? That's what happens. Problem is, when you're going through a phase of life, right? You're going through a phase of life and you don't understand the other phase of life. It's easy to get judgmental. In fact, there's some parents in here right now that are parents of teenagers and you guys are like, rookies. babies and princess dresses. Oh boy. You know, you guys are like, whatever. But listen, what I'm saying is Kat and I needed community around us once we had kids. To go when she's about to pull her hair out and we're like, our marriage was so strong before kids, you know, or whatever, that we can look over and say, there's other people going, you're going to be all right. It's going to be okay. We've gone through we're in the same boat. Isn't that great? Don't we need some people around us in the same boat sometimes? And listen, there's this story in the scriptures. It's powerful. It's a story of Elizabeth and Mary. And it's, you know, it's this girl, you know, Mary, this angel shows up and says, hey, you're going to, you know, have the Son of God, no big deal. And she's panicking probably inside, like, what's going on? And you have to think, in that moment, where could she find common community, a miraculous birth, all this stuff? And the angel goes, hold on a second. Your cousin Elizabeth, she also carries a child that was born, is going to be born miraculously. You should go. You should meet with her. Check this out. In Luke 1:39, Mary didn't waste a minute. Listen, some of you need some community. Please don't waste a minute. Please don't waste a minute to start laying your foundation. Because when the storms come, if you don't have this foundation, you're going to get rocked. And I'm telling you, man, we've got to have it. So she got up and traveled to a town in Judah in the hill country, straight to Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Here's this girl traveling to build this foundation. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leapt. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang out exuberantly. Some of you need to have joy hit your spirit again. And the only way that's going to happen is when you recognize you've got people around you that no matter what storm you may be going through, others are going through it with you, and you can have joy and you can praise even through the storm because you're not alone. I'm here to tell you, whatever phase of life, wherever you're at, our church is praying, God, give us a way to uniquely reach them and help them. We're working on demographic ministries for all the student ministries like we talked about, the young adults, the young families, parents of teens, people that are empty nesters, the things that they go through, all that stuff. This year, we're going to roll all that out to help people get connected where they need to get connected. And I'm asking you guys, lay the foundation. Do it. We've even got city groups that literally we're going to pray that they're in your city. If you live in Maumelle, North Little Rock, Sherwood, wherever, West Little Rock, downtown Little Rock, what up? Anyway, wherever you live, we're going to have a group for you, right near you. Why? Because we want to make it as easy as possible to get you connected into community. You're not alone. And last but not least, number 4, friendships founded in calling. We've got to have friendships that are founded in calling. I love this one. Most of my friends are founded in this area. And it's because I have a unique blessing. And that's that a lot of the people that I'm friends with, I'm in the trenches of ministry with, we're doing life together all the time. And it's a blast. I love it. So my closest friends, I get to work with them. But you may be saying, God help me if my closest friends are the ones that I work with all the time. I hear you. I feel you. And I understand. But God, I think what he would tell you if Jesus were here, he'd say, I called you. I called you to do something incredible and to be founded with people that you're called with. It may not be the people that you're working with right now, but where is your calling? And I think he'd also tell you, when I was here, Jesus would say, I didn't go to the synagogues looking for people. I went to where they worked. I went to where they lived. So I think even more than Jesus is looking for me, he's looking for y'all. I mean that. And I'm hoping in an encouraging way. Jesus is looking for you to find friends and get founded in calling. Matthew 4, verse 18. Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. Could you look up here? What if they weren't there? I ask myself that question all the time. What if they said, this work is beneath me, or I don't like the smell, or I don't want to be around my brother or whatever. That's where Jesus is looking. He's looking for people. So Jesus said to them, come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. Later it says, they didn't ask a question, but simply dropped their nets and followed him. A short distance down the beach, they came upon another pair of brothers, James and John. Jesus made the same offer to them, and they were just as quick to follow, abandoning boat and father. So what does it look like for you to drop your nets, to say, God, I'm going to pick up some of your calling? Disclaimer, got to know this caveat. It's probably not going to mean leaving your job or leaving your school. It's certainly not going to mean leaving your family. But here's what I prayed about, and I think it's what it means. Getting out of your boat, that means leaving your comfort zone behind. Man, God doesn't care that much about your comfort. He cares about making you more like Christ. And so many of us, we just want to stay in our boat. We got to hold on to this stuff. And there's some ministries right here at this church. There's some Kid Life kids over there and some Little Life kids over there right now that are learning the Word of God. And men, let me talk to you for a second. There needs to be more men over there teaching them the Word. Notice that mostly women said amen right there. All the guys are like, man, he ain't talking to me, boy. I ain't getting back in there. Kids, man, they just make noises and whatnot. Listen, you're not comfortable with it? I don't care. Neither should you. Because you should say, man, I know a little bit of the Word. I could teach a young man how to be a real man. But as long as we're holding on to our boat, we're never going to see that happen. I could go on and on. There's serve groups that need you. What about your nets? What does that mean, dropping your nets? It means letting go of what you've always done and asking God what's next. Some of you in here for 17 years, you've been doing the same thing. Ask God what's next. I've always had this net, God. Is there something next? I think about Seth and Kendra, how thankful I am that they're here. But if I would have held on to my net of student ministry and never let it go, they couldn't be here. And trust me, this church needs them, not me in that role. And I love that it's like, let go. God, okay, what's next? What's next for you? Would you pray that in here? Would you ask God, what's next? What could I let go of? And listen, this is the most important one. It says maybe even leaving dad. What does that mean? I certainly don't think it's leaving your family behind. But I think it's breaking ties with the past. If I could pastor you for a second. Some of you in here, things have been spoken over you. Things have been said to you that you've held on to for years. You've said, I can't lead, I can't serve, I can't be safe in relationship because of something somebody did or said, maybe a family member, maybe a church, God forbid, maybe even this church. But I'm telling you right now, God loves you. Jesus is calling to you. He's saying, do not let one mistake give birth to another and another and another. Break that off and come follow me. Come get founded in calling. That's what the disciples did. And think about it. I don't know what their relationships were like before they said yes, but afterwards there was a foundation that crossed time, challenge, no matter what came at them. And so today I want to invite you, wherever you're at, to get plugged into foundational friendships.